Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. Parker McBride here, joined as always by my co-host Matt Wasko, and we're welcoming back a familiar guest today. We have Brian Keller back on for the third time.
Number three.
Matt and Brian, how are we doing today?
Awesome.
This is, as far as guests being on multiple times, Brian now holds the record.
He does.
With three.
I don't think anybody's hit two
yet. No one's hit two. So that speaks, you know, that we like Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we're the three amigos. We have something in common that not everybody knows about, but it's something, so we share that. So
we do. I keep forgetting that we all share June 10th.
Anniversary.
Wedding anniversary.
That's crazy. Yeah. Every time I think about that, I was like, really?
I know.
Some of us have been married longer than others, but, you know.
Yeah. Wine's the old man of the group. Yeah.
Don't make me build up some ammo.
Hey, we were just talking before we started the podcast, starting a old man fitness business for Matt.
I hear the jokes. I'm with you.
I got you. It's all good.
Moving on.
Last time that Brian was on, he brought some cool products for us, to some protein bars that we tried out, actually. So I know he's got some exciting stuff in store for us today that we will get to in a minute. But
I don't know, I hope no one's going to be let down with that really exciting stuff later today.
I don't even know what they are.
I don't either.
So I don't know whether it's going to be exciting or not. I hope it's going to be exciting.
It should be beneficial with the information provided, I think. So we'll see. Yeah.
It's going to be informative.
Yes.
We'll put it that way.
That. Okay. Informative. Yes.
All right. So we're going to start off with our Fit Focus like we always do. And today we have a Harvard study. And the title reads, "The Sweet Danger of Sugar." So we're talking a little bit about sugar today.
I have to admit, I do like sugar, but I do avoid it.
Well,
I think
like
we all kind of like it.
So, but should we go ahead and just automatically think that this is going to be a great study since Harvard put this together? We're going to find out, aren't we?
You know how we think on this podcast.
Yeah, of course,
if a study says it, we 100% have to believe it.
Right. You know, there's I hear you guys agreeing with those studies all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
And sometimes they're right, but we like to call them out when they're wrong, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember a Bill Gates study months ago that we reviewed about M&Ms being a higher value than meat.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh, there wasn't an agenda associated with that one now, where was it?
Not at all. Uh-uh. Not at all.
Nope.
So we'll see as we dive into this one. Okay. The opener reads, "Too much added sugar can be one of the greatest threats to cardiovascular disease. Here's how to cure your sweet habit." So, essentially, in this article, they call out added sugar as being a really bad problem. And it says, "In the American diet, top sources of added sugar are soft drinks, fruit drinks, flavored yogurt, cereals, cookies, cakes, candy, and most processed foods."
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, that's quite the list.
Yeah. And that's not even all-encompassing. There's so many more things beyond that.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. and it says, "The result, we consume way too much added sugar. Adult men take an average of 24 teaspoons of added sugar per day."
Wow.
Right? Think
Holy
about that.
Smokes.
Think about if you just open a jar of sugar and just start shoveling 24 teaspoons, and look at how much that actually is, right? But we eat these products, you know, whether it's the drinks or the bars or whatever, and you don't actually see the sugar. You don't see what you're eating. If you knew how much sugar you were eating, you probably would put it down, right? Every package, the nutrition label will say how much sugar's in there. You know, just look at the nutrition label. I think it's insane. Some of these like soft drinks and mm-hmm. fruit drinks and stuff will have, I don't know, 50, 60 grams of sugar just in one drink.
I think it's Dunkin' Donuts. Their drinks are like 20 to 40 tablespoons mm-hmm. of sugar.
It's stupid.
And their drinks, mm-hmm. and it's just like, you know, take those tablespoons and put 40 tablespoons in a cup and see how much sugar that is.
Yeah, it's mostly sugar. Would you like some water with your sugar, Matt?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, you know, the good thing, though, so if you like sugar, you know, you can do stevia as an alternative, which to me I think is probably the best natural sweetener besides sugar, or honey. I love honey, and I think those two are great alternatives. If you have that sweet tooth and you got to have something sweet, I'd say use one
I
of
love
those two
taking honey and putting it in Greek yogurt.
Yep, with some cinnamon. And I put cinnamon on it too.
And it just tastes like dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it tastes like a dessert, and you're not eating a bunch of added sugar, right?
That's right.
It's sugar, but it's natural sugars.
Right.
Exactly.
Right, because that's what the study says here. They were studying the added sugar, and they said people who got about, they had one group got about 20% of their calories from added sugar, and the other group got about 8%. And they said it was 38% higher chance of cardiovascular disease in the group that got the 20% of their calories from sugar.
So not only does it affect your body internally with your cardiovascular, but it will add the extra pounds to you as well. It'll just sit as, you know, when you have all that extra in your system and your body's not burning it, it's added extra weight anyway. So you're just throwing on, not only are you giving yourself an opportunity to gain weight, but you're also affecting cardiovascular. I've also heard that I think sugar is not really good for some aspects of your mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Just different effects that sugar.
Mental decline. Yeah.
Well, we talked about sugar's effect on Alzheimer's a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is talking about heart disease, but it's actually interesting you bring that up about the weight gain, because it says consuming too much added sugar can raise blood pressure and increase chronic inflammation, which is a pathological pathway to heart disease. But it also says excessive consumption of sugar also contributes to weight gain by tricking your body into turning off its appetite control system, because added sugar calories are not as satisfying as calories from other food.
Yeah.
So it's like it tricks your body into thinking that it needs more food once it eats that added sugar. And so then you eat more food, and then you end up in a large calorie surplus, and then you gain weight.
I remember there was days where I liked M&Ms and Oreos, and I had to make the choice to stop eating those. You know what? Because I could easily eat the entire tray of Oreos. I mean, there's nothing stopping me. So that makes sense that that automatic management of my diet just turns off, and I just want to finish this whole sleeve.
Well, yeah. So that leads me to think, and I know we all three think a lot alike on this regard, but that's just when you discuss the, epidemic, I guess you could call it today, of Americans just being so overweight. I personally think that there's an agenda associated with having all this added sugar, because not only does it sell more for the grocery stores and the producers of all that junk, but people, they just eat it. They eat it and eat it and eat it. And you walk around and you see so many people that are, I mean, the United States is the country that's the most overweight in the world. And there's good reason for it, especially with all this added sugar that people are putting in their, you know, in their food.
Yeah.
Well, I think here's part of the problem. This is just my opinion, is producing food using added sugar is cheaper than producing the high quality type of food.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper to produce a box of corn flakes or a package of Oreos, whatever. It doesn't cost that much to produce versus a really quality food like farm fresh eggs or, a steak, grass-fed steak, things like that. And so it's cheaper to produce, and so then there's demand for it because it costs less at the grocery store too. So I mean, people kind of get tricked into it. They're like, well, you know, my budget's tight, and I want to eat what's cheaper. And so the more you buy the foods that cost less, the less healthier that you're going to be.
Again, an agenda associated with that. That's it's more money for them to make put in their pocket for profit, but they sell it for less. They know that people are going to buy it, and then the more they eat, the more that they start having to, you know, they have these medical conditions. They have to get on the... Feeds the medical industry, yep. Big pharma. So it's this nice big wheel that keeps turning and turning and turning.
Which makes me, you know, can think back to a previous episode where we were talking about vegetable oil being banned 1 year from now. Well, I assume they'll take that as an opportunity to, you know, like, raise the cost of all snacks. Because a lot of snacks have that in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of colas have it as well. And so they're going to all going to raise in price, which is even more reason not to drink them anyway or eat all those snacks anyway. So,
yeah. So, let's. I want your guys' take on this right here. This part of the article. It says, you know, they were eating about 24 teaspoons a day on the group that had a lot, right? So they posed the question. They said, if 24 teaspoons is too much, they said, how much is a healthy amount? And their conclusion was no more than 9 teaspoons of added sugar per day is okay.
9 teaspoons.
What do you guys think about 9 teaspoons?
How about zero?
I was going to say half or zero. I mean, to me, added sugars, I don't think the body doesn't need any added sugars because you're already getting enough sugar in some form, whether it's... fructose or whether it's sugar or honey or whatever sweetener.
Will break down.
Yeah. So you don't need any added sugars whatsoever. I mean, the foods that we eat that are natural anyway, a lot of the fruits have their own form of sugar, the fructose. So I don't think you need any. I would agree with you, Matt. Zero.
Yeah, I would say zero. You know, every once in a while, I might have like, one time I had a good amount of sugar. Is that the last meat I had? Had two big old Snicker bars right before I lifted.
Coach's orders.
Coach's orders.
Coach's orders.
Parker said, get two Snicker bars. And so I'm like, okay. So I brought him in and right, like 15, 30 minutes before I lift. You know, I ate that sucker. I have to tell you, it tasted good.
I bet it did. I bet.
I haven't had a Snicker bar. Oh, here's the funny thing is, and I was at the meet, and my wife goes, you haven't had one of those. And I'm like, I know, it tastes so good. And she's like, so what does she do? She comes next week, you know, wife being a wife, loving her spouse, buys me a pack of mini Snicker bars. I'm like, that's not what that means.
Right. Well, so next time you decide that you want a Snickers bar, Matt, look on the ingredient label and see if it contains a bioengineered ingredient.
I'm probably sure it does.
I bet it does.
I'm depending on my kidneys to filter it out for that one.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the overarching theme. You know, you said zero, right? Which I would agree with. Zero added sugar is the best amount of added sugar, but here and there, it's okay. We don't want it a habit. We don't want 24 teaspoons a day. We don't even want 9 teaspoons a day. We want to generally be at zero or a little bit, and that's here and there. Oh, maybe on there's an event going on. There's a powerlifting meet, or there's a get-together, or it's somebody's birthday. You eat a piece of cake, right? And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a little bit, but that's nowhere going to be near 24 teaspoons. And I think the most important thing is finding the things that we consume every day that have added sugar and taking those out, right? The people that do drink sugary drinks all day,
yeah,
right? Pull those out. If you're constantly eating a snack every day that has a lot of added sugar, pulling that out of your routine. So it's not a routine every day, because we've seen now, I mean, we all know the effects, the diabetes, right?
Yeah.
Is a type 2 diabetes is as a result of consuming a lot of added sugar over a number of years.
Right.
We've talked about a study in the past about Alzheimer's and how the high consumption of sugar over a number of years can lead to Alzheimer's. And now here we are talking about a study that is showing that a high intake of added sugar over a number of years is leading to cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
So we're starting to put the correlation together of this habitual sugar intake over a lifetime, over a number of years, leading to all sorts of chronic diseases that are literally killing people.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. I mean,
and slowly.
They've also found that sugar feeds cancer.
Yeah, and so cancer too.
Yeah, so if...
And those are the four leading causes of death in the United States,
yeah,
and probably in the world.
Yeah.
And they're all tied back to sugar.
And they're all pushed. And, I mean, it's very difficult to go to the grocery store and find something that doesn't have sugar in it you know, unless you're going to go into a health food store where they've, you know, replaced it with, you know, stevia or something like that. But yeah, the only carbs I'm putting in my body that have anything to do with sugar are fruit, and that's in my shake. So,
well, I sure hope that, you know, people, regular listeners to the podcast, thoroughly enjoy the fact that we try to connect all the dots for them, so they see what this whole big wheel is that we're on daily, and yeah, how all this goes.
I mean, we try to connect the dots. I mean, it's you know, there's a reason that, or there has to be a reason that America is like one of the last countries in the world to not ban many of these dyes and preservatives.
I think it's coming, though. I think it's coming.
I hope so.
So would you want to revise, Matt, would you want to revise your zero teaspoons added sugar to revise it to 2 Snicker bars a day?
No, it's, you can have 2 Snicker bars for every meet, powerlifting meet you go to that you're participating in. Outside of that, none.
Okay, so that's the exception. Okay. All right.
Or unless
I want to make a correction too, because I was Matt's coach, and he called me the night before, and he was going over his list of the food that he was bringing to the meet, and he said, "Shit, you know, is this good? Should I add anything?" You know, and that's when I was like, "Well, I was like, Matt, what's your favorite candy? You know, so do you like Snickers bars? Oh man, I love Snickers bars." I said, "You know what? I said, go out and buy you a Snickers bar." Yeah. And then you're going to eat it like right before you do your lift, a few minutes before, and it's going to give you that shot of energy. And he shows up, and we're getting close to the lift, and I said, "Matt, where's your Snickers bar?" He goes, "Oh, there's 2 of them in my bag." Yeah. And I said, "I didn't tell you to get 2.
were they the big ones? Were they the really big ones?
So I told my wife, because Parker said, "Get you a really big Snicker bar." So my wife went looking for those.
Yeah,
big ones,
gigantic,
right?
Ones, yeah.
Because I couldn't find you any big ones. So I just got you 2 of the regular size ones. I'm like, okay, that'll work, you know. And I did eat both before, I think before my second lift and before my third lift, maybe. Or it might have been first and second. Anyway.
Were you sitting there just going, "Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was surprisingly, I was very nervous. Very nervous during that meet. But after after I got past the first lift, I was really, or the second lift, I was very calm.
Sure.
You know, so, but yeah, no, I felt the difference.
You felt that sugar kick in?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. I felt that difference. And then I think it was like after Parker left, I came down.
I was going to say, you know, along with a sugar blast, you get that sugar crash. So you probably did get that. Probably.
Yeah, we went, I had to stay to get my medal. So, we went to a local store that was close by, and I was walking around the stores, and I was walking around. Oh. I felt myself go. I go, "Honey, I'm so tired." Because I don't eat half Snicker bars, so right. It affected me. Felt the up, and then I felt the down.
Well, see, and that's a prime example of what the effects of sugar can do. Especially if you're not one to eat much sugar,
mm-hmm.
you'll feel it. But then your body. I mean, it's going to give you that big rush, but then it's going to drop you like a rock, and then you're just going to be like, ugh. And then you're going to most times just wish you didn't eat it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it always like tastes good going in, but then
you have eater's remorse after.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Almost
exactly.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So I wanted to talk next about this next section down here. They're talking about subtracting the sugar from your diet, right? And they're listing things to types of sugar to subtract. And we're gonna go through them one by one, and I kind of want your guys' maybe quick take on them.
Okay.
First one they say is brown sugar.
What are they saying about brown sugar?
They're saying these are the types of sugars to remove from your diet.
Oh, okay.
Are they racist?
Which?
No, I'm just kidding. Joke.
Now,
I don't see white sugar on here.
Yeah.
Corn sweetener. Which, like corn syrup. Corn syrup and corn sweetener.
Yeah, I think. I would say I don't know a whole lot about brown sugar. I know it obviously has a different flavor and taste, different profile than regular sugar, but... the corn syrup, yeah, absolutely. That I know
that's so bad for you.
That's so bad for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Fruit juice concentrates and high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, extremely bad for you. That's where you get your weight gain. And that's one of the cheap sugars that's why they load it all in on all those different products, is because it's cheap to get, cheap to produce, and it gives you that extremely sweet flavor. and it just adds. Yeah,
isn't the, that's the bad stuff. You know, when you make that orange concentrate where it comes in a frozen can, mm-hmm. and then it's like it comes out in a chunk, mm-hmm. and you need to put water in, you mm-hmm. smash it up. Mm-hmm. Is that what that is?
No, that's actually orange juice.
I didn't know if that was high corn syrup or not.
Oh, well, I don't know. You'd have to look at the label on that. I don't get it.
I just know a friend who I went over to breakfast, and he pulled one of those containers out, opened it up. It slid out mm-hmm. like a sludge.
It does.
Dropped yep. in, and then I was mm-hmm. like, I wonder what that's made of. But
I haven't used those in forever, but growing up, we used to, that's the orange juice we would have instead of buying a fresh jug. But anyway, so the corn syrup and the high fructose, yeah, not good. Mm-hmm. High fructose corn syrup is extremely bad.
Next one is honey.
Love honey.
Wait, it's saying you shouldn't have honey?
Yes.
I disagree with that. That's
hey, me. Harvard said it.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. They yeah. also said we should have 9 tablespoons of sugar a day. So right. we're starting to see a pattern.
Yeah. Honey is one of the best things for you, especially. So, and I think both of you guys know, but a quick caveat on honey is that, especially locally, if you can get a local honey and you have allergies, you start eating that, the bees pollinate from all those flowers locally to where once you start ingesting that honey, it's supposed to actually help you with your allergies.
I will attest to that, and I'll give you credit for it. It was probably a year ago, you were down in Midwest honey, and so I went to the grocery store and started buying make sure I buy Midwest honey. And every time I get honey for my yogurt, I get Midwest honey. Make sure it's made in the Midwest. And my allergies have been great. So, and usually I'm like,
You can get it from, I know that you guys have gone to local farmers markets and they mm-hmm. have honey, and they're all pollinated here locally. So
yeah.
that's even more local.
That's even more local.
Because Midwest, I mean, it could still be a couple sure. states away, and right. there's still differences in the air and stuff.
Absolutely.
I always go, like, a local farm that's within a few miles.
Right.
Now, you were talking to me once, and remind me of the name of this so we can have it recorded. You go to a place to pick all your fruits and vegetables, right?
I do. Well, not all of them, but some of them, you know, especially stuff if we haven't grown it in our own garden. We found a really good place. It's out in Bates City. It's just called John and Linda's Berry Farm.
Do they sell honey there?
They do, actually.
Yeah, there we go.
But their honey comes from... So I actually talked to him the other day because I bought a honeycomb from him.
Oh.
I had never had a honeycomb before, and it is really good.
You just eat that straight, right?
Yeah, you could just like... I just eat it with a fork. I'd like fork a chunk off and eat it.
Talk about a jolt of some energy.
I'll bring that to the next meet.
There you go.
That would honestly be pretty good though. But
that's that old man fitness for you.
They have a guy out in Centerview that sells them their honey, and then they resell it to people that are there mm-hmm. picking the fruits and vegetables. So it's not actually from their farm.
But it's local though. It's still
local. Yeah, it's within 30 miles of
sure.
here.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to have to get some of that.
But there are, I mean, you go to the farmer's markets, a lot of times there'll be people selling it there. check for signs and even maybe Facebook Marketplace, like for people around here local that are producing it and selling it, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot of times it's cheaper too because, you know, you just have some, a lot of times it's just some people who wanted a beehive for themselves and then they're just selling the extra that's produced, you know,
right.
and the bees are just going around getting all the whatever's local around to pollinate and to make the honey with.
I can't remember if it's the cloudier the honey or the clearer the honey that's better quality. I think I wanted to say it's the cloudier the honey is it's supposed to be better for you.
It's interesting you say that because I got these two different honeys. I bought one when one was about halfway empty, and the one of them I bought was I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a Midwest honey. The other was a Sprouts brand, and the Sprouts brand I've had for longer, mm-hmm. and it stayed very clear. Mm-hmm. The other brand has started to crystallize and like chunks start to mm-hmm. like almost like sugar starting mm-hmm. to go down into it with it, mm-hmm. and I have to say I'm not a big fan of that texture.
Well, take that plastic bottle and put it in warm water, and it'll help loosening those up.
Okay.
It has to do with the temperature. I've noticed that in the wintertime, you know, a lot of times we'll keep the house cooler in the winter than we will in the summer, and so then it'll start to do that. Almost any honey that I get will start to do that in the wintertime. Okay. But yeah, that.
But just set it in warm water for a little bit, and it'll loosen all that up.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Has to do with the temperature.
Okay.
So I want to ask you guys a question. Of the list that I've named so far, you guys didn't recommend anything except the honey. What's the difference between the honey and all the other stuff, right?
Natural.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Right? It's the naturally occurring sugar. All this other stuff is, you know, brown sugar, corn syrup, fruit juice concentrates. All that stuff is processed sugar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Honey is naturally occurring sugar. It's exactly the way as it comes out from the bees.
I'd have a question if there's metals in those sugars, because there's lead and cadmium in salts.
There's metals in everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I would assume there is in that sugar then, too.
So then the next one, this is, so obviously they said any sugar ending in -ose. So they said dextrose, fructose, glucose, lactose, maltose, and sucrose.
Yeah, sucrose. Big negative.
Yep.
Big negative.
Would you guys recommend against all of those oses?
What's the four again?
There's like six of them.
Yeah. Oh. Dextrose, fructose, glucose.
Dextrose is a carbohydrate.
Lactose, maltose, and sucrose.
Well, lactose. Lactose is sugars associated with milk or dairy. I wouldn't necessarily think that that would be. To me, I would think that should be something that's good. Dextrose, I think some people take after a good workout to replenish their muscles.
I was taking so much dextrose.
Oh, that you were because it wasn't the protein. It was the dextrose.
It was all dextrose.
Right. And your midsection was showing it, wasn't it?
Thanks, Brian.
No, that's what you. I remember that's what you were saying. You were like, yeah, I ended up dropping. I actually shed some of that off after I got
yeah,
done
I got off dextrose
taking
and
my
lost
dextrose
like
powder.
7 pounds
yeah.
like that.
Right. That I was using your words, not mine, man.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I was just messing with you. But yeah, so I mean, a little dextrose I would
think
would hurt.
Yeah, I mean, dextrose is just basically, you know, like pastas and breads turned into, you know, a carbohydrate or turned into glucose.
I would say a little bit of that. I wouldn't say the body needs a ton of it, but the other one, the lactose, I don't see any issues with that. What do you guys think?
No, I think that's another naturally occurring sugar, right? The sugar that occurs in milk and dairy products. And so, you know, if it's from a natural source, same thing with the fructose, right? If it's from a natural source in fruits, I think it's fine. It's still something you want to limit, right? You don't want to just go all out and just eat, shovel fruit in your mouth the entire day and that's all you eat. But these natural occurring sugars are perfectly fine.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just interesting they lump those together, dextrose, fructose, glucose, lactose, maltose, and sucrose, when there are big differences between them.
Huge.
And they just, like, literally in parentheses, it's just like, they're all the same. Anything ending in -ose.
We're starting to see a pattern with this study.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that they're not separating the types of sugar. They're just kind of saying, sugar's bad to have a ton of it, so just have some of it, and then just, it's all the same.
Not all sugars are created equal. How's that?
No.
That's very true.
Yeah. Especially the last one. That one's really bad.
Yeah, sucrose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's about it there. So it's just very interesting to me that you have a study like this, that they correlate the high intake of sugar with cardiovascular disease. But then they don't come out and say, okay, it would be best if you just don't eat any. They come out and they say, well, okay, like, you can still have quite a bit, you know, nine teaspoons. And it's like, why aren't we trying to be, like, no, we're not going to be perfect, but why wouldn't we strive for that? Why are we just striving for mediocrity, it feels like?
It's just like a lot of studies do that.
Because they want it, they want it to seem like it's okay to strive for that, in my opinion. You should never strive to be mediocre.
Especially
never.
When there's so many natural existing sugars out there that you don't need much of that either. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do understand. I think it's an agenda. So even their studies are sometimes covert because really don't need that in your system.
Well, like I mentioned, stevia and honey to me are the two that I think are the best for you, because stevia is from the stevia plant, so it's natural as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those would be the best two that you can get, and you don't need
any.
I
think I remember I saw one study on stevia, but there, as far as stevia being I haven't looked into it recently. I'm sure there's been more studies, but it's been a few years since I've looked at a study for stevia, and it, at the time it was inconclusive. So, but nothing, you know, had come out about it that was like worrisome.
I was going to say, typically those inconclusive studies seem to be the ones that you really want to think that they're feeding you full of a lot of...
Probably, crap.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this statement? It says, Doctor Who, which one of the doctors involved in this study, Doctor Who warns against being overzealous in your attempts to cut back on added sugar, as this can backfire. You may find yourself reaching for other foods to satisfy your sweet cravings, like refined starches such as white bread and white rice, which can increase glucose levels.
Wow.
I don't know if that makes sense to me.
I don't think it makes sense to me either. Why would you want to start eating a bunch of rice if you're cutting back on your sugar?
Well, he's probably saying that the body's going to start craving a different...
Right.
Component or macronutrient to suffice for the glucose. Because everything ultimately, even protein ultimately, will turn down to sugar.
Right.
It's just one of the last ones to do it.
Right. Hey, Matt, since you smoke three packs of cigarettes today, it would be overzealous to quit. You should probably just only smoke one pack a day.
Yeah. Hey, I smoke a cigar like once every 6 months.
Well, then he should supplement the other two packs he's not smoking with the candy cigarettes.
Hey, there's your 9 teaspoons of sugar.
There you go. Right. That's right. Yeah. Very good.
But a cigar every now and then isn't so bad.
Anytime I get together with the guys, like a guy's night out, we'll have a cigar, and it's the only one I have.
I know we're talking about we're on a good podcast for fitness and everything, but to go along with that cigar... A good little bourbon from now and then with that cigar is good, too.
Yeah.
So this is another interesting point I want to bring up. They've got a ranking here in order of which food group the proportion of sugar intake is, right, for each food group. And they've got them ranked by most down to least.
Is candy a food group?
Here it is.
Okay.
Right? So number one is soda and... energy and sports drinks. And based on their results, 42% of people's sugar intake comes from soda and sports drinks.
I wouldn't doubt it.
42, that's almost half.
Right, but think of how many people, I mean, look at all the different energy drinks that are out there and all the sodas. You can't go anywhere without hearing somebody they want a soda, or I've got see them with an energy drink in their hand.
A lot of your energy drinks have
cyanocobalamin.
Yeah. Well, they don't have sugar in them. They have
high fructose corn syrup.
That's still sugar.
That's still sugar, but they still have that in. They
have
that.
Look that up.
They have fructose. They have a lot of, I mean, some of those OSes that were on that list are in some of those drinks.
Yeah. And then it's a really big drop. Second, it says grain-based desserts at 12%.
Like apricot, like a cobbler or something, that's a grain-based dessert maybe?
Yeah, I would say cake and stuff like
I guess you would consider,
even like cookies, like pie and stuff. And
cookies,
Which I can understand that. Fruit drinks was number 3 at 8%, which I would probably just lump that in with soda.
I would have too.
And then that gets you to 50% on sugary beverages.
Right.
Fourth is dairy desserts. Ice cream and stuff, I would say, which if you add, see, that's confusing, because if you add sugar to dairy, like added sugar like you do in ice cream, then you're going to have not only the dairy sugar, but also the added sugar.
Right.
So I would guess that includes some added sugar and some dairy sugar, which the dairy sugar is probably okay.
Yeah, you're right. Sucrose.
And sucrose, yeah. That's a lot of it, too. Sucrose is in a lot of them.
Yeah,
sucralose.
Sucralose,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Number 5 was candy at 5%.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's probably just wolfing down a handful of M&Ms like Matt used to do every day, but, you know, I guess I can see. I know. Is this pick on Matt podcast? I don't know. Sorry, Matt. But, no,
that's,
I used to.
That's like taking a nugget of information and blowing it out of
the water. I'll tell you, I was part of that too. I would go to Sam's and buy that big plastic square tub of peanut M&Ms, and I did that for a while until I started realizing how bad the dyes were for you. And then all the, I mean, you know, chocolate's good for you, but it the way they produce this chocolate, I think, for M&M's, it's not the best way of eating chocolate. So I cut my intake of M&M's down, too. So I was right there with you. I'm not just busting your chops. I'm busting mine, too, because I did the same thing. But I people don't eat that much candy, I guess. I mean, I would think that would be higher on the list.
Yeah, 5% seemed pretty low to me.
That does seem low. It, when you said that, I was like, only 5%?
But it's fifth highest. So, I mean, it is still in the top five.
But that's getting your daily sugar is what it says, right? Your amount of daily sugar. So, so maybe you're not eating candy every day. That's probably why it's down low. But you do see people drinking soda or having energy drinks every day, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. So that's why that should have been number one, and I think that's why candy's so low.
You know, I don't know. It's funny, as we talk about candy, I go into QT buy my gas a lot, right? And sometimes I'll go in and either grab a water or an iced tea or something in there. And what I notice is that when I go to the counter, and I have QTs all around me, I've never seen people put candy on the counter. Yet they have entire
check out. Right there. It's right around whenever you're paying.
But I just never see people putting candy up there. So maybe I'm missing it. So, you know, it makes sense that, I mean, it's like, how are they still making money? I mean, I don't know any numbers on the sales of candies because I haven't looked at it. But
I bet it's gone down. I bet a lot of people don't eat it nearly like what they used to. But I bet there's still a lot of people that do.
Yeah.
I bet you, I mean, you just aren't there when someone's putting it up on the counter. But I bet there's still a lot of people that are getting it.
So number six was cereal.
I would think that would be higher because I up until 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, I'd have a big bowl of cereal every day for breakfast. Every day. Mm-hmm. Love Cinnamon Life. Mm-hmm. I'd have grape nuts. I'd have Frosted Flakes sometimes. I don't eat Frosted Flakes anymore now that I know what's in them. But I would have sometimes two bowls. So to me, I would think that would be higher on the list.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to, when I was in, growing up in school, I had Count Chalkia.
Yep. Mm.
Uh-huh. And then when I was in college, the fraternity I went had a big machine full of Captain Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I had that before I went
peanut butter?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so
good. Oh, that's so good. And I would upset my stomach every day. And then as I got older, I wouldn't have that much cereal. I just have Raisin Bran every once in a while.
Yeah, I'd eat Raisin Bran too. Yeah.
But I've never been a huge cereal person after college because that cereal has upset my stomach. So.
Yeah, it was definitely like in my childhood. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of cereal, but yeah, kind of once I got out of high school and stuff, just not what I'm craving in the mornings.
No, not anymore.
Definitely not anymore.
I don't miss cereal. I mean, I used to love it. I used to eat it every day religiously.
I'm trying so hard for my wife to eat more eggs. She just doesn't like them. She doesn't like yogurt. Doesn't like eggs.
It's hard to eat. It's hard to eat something that you don't like.
I know. So
she doesn't like them anyway. I mean, the only way I eat my eggs are scrambled. That's the only way I'll eat eggs. But I love them. I look forward to making them every morning.
So interesting point about eggs is that, and I think this is because when you scramble them, you're cooking more of the moisture out of them. Because when I try to eat like hard-boiled eggs or even fried eggs, I can eat 6 to 7 scrambled eggs in a sitting. Okay. But I can't eat that many fried eggs in a sitting.
Hmm.
That's interesting. I don't know what it is, if it has something to do with mental or 6 to 8 hard-boiled eggs.
Mine's three full eggs and a half a cup of egg whites mixed together, and then I'll put in some 2% milk and mix it in with my eggs and then cook them.
Brian, I have a question for you in here. How many eggs do you eat a week?
Definitely not what that man eats.
I was going to see if you could compete with the 6 dozen.
So I have three. So I usually have about almost, so it'd be 21 eggs, not including the half a cup of egg. I don't know what half a cup of egg whites would equate to. But so I have actually 6 days a week because that's on Sundays I fast before church. I'll get up and maybe make a coffee, a bulletproof coffee, and then I'll eat when I get home. So 6 days a week. 5 to 6 days a week. So I'm having 15 to 18 eggs a week plus another seven and a half.
That's like 2 days for me.
Seven or eight cups of egg whites. So, yeah. But I mean, I'm trying to keep my weight down. You're trying to add for your competition.
Right.
I still want to keep it down to a certain level, but I still want to grow and get some.
Got to pump those numbers up, Brian.
Yeah, come on, Brian.
Six dozen or bust.
Six dozen or nothing.
Wow, that's that old man fitness right there. I'm telling you, six dozen eggs. Wow, that's impressive, Matt. That really is.
I bet
people don't like following you around the house either. I bet in your house, I bet you've got to have some Febreze everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Okay, moving on.
You know, I don't TMI, Matt. I'm sorry. TMI. Sorry.
I don't experience that with eggs.
No, I don't either.
Some people do.
I don't have a flatulence problem when I eat eggs.
I don't either, really, but I know that some people do.
Hey, I will say I bought my six dozen, I think it was last Sunday, and I only went through a little over five dozen.
Farm Fresh?
No, they were the pasture-raised eggs at Sprouts.
You know, so you can get those Farm Fresh eggs, and as long as the people that sell them to you don't clean them before they just get them right out and give them to you, they might wipe off some of the stuff that you don't want on there, but not wet or anything. But if you leave that egg film, that coating, that protective coating that the hen puts on the egg,
mm-hmm.
you can leave them out on your counter for, I think, month.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do leave all ours out on the counter, and I don't know if it ever goes past a month. Sometimes it does because we'll buy them in bulk, and I mean they're fine. Yeah, they're
you just
they're
rinse them off before
fine.
You eat them and cook them, and that's when you rinse them. But
I don't even rinse them before I cook them.
There you go. He gets that sometimes that natural farm.
Sometimes
flavor.
A feather falls in the pan, just gets mixed.
My eggs are a little chewy today.
No, the only time I got, I forget what it's called something, but I bought some eggs at Old German Brethren off of, at the Red Bridge Methodist Church. And one of the eggs was fertilized. Man, it stunk.
I bet.
I mean, when I knew something up, it was like when I cracked it outside of the smell, and it was like saw like a shape of something in there, and it was dark. I'm like, oh, this is a live fertilized egg. I'm like, not live, but it was dead. And, oh, man, I had to put that in a Ziploc and get it out in the trash.
Well, so I will tell you, since we're talking about eggs, so my father-in-law gave us some eggs a while back. His neighbor behind him has chickens, but they also have ducks, I guess. So we ended up getting, and they threw in, we had like three or four duck eggs that were thrown in with the chicken eggs. And he was like, "Ah, there's a couple duck eggs in there too." And I was like, "Duck eggs, I've never, what's the difference?" And he says, "To me, I think they taste a little richer, but they taste just the same." And sure enough, they're bigger, the yolks are bigger too. I took those and I'd mix them in with my chicken eggs, and sure enough, they have a richer flavor to them, but they taste just like a chicken egg.
Mm.
Just FYI, in case you guys would ever try them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they're definitely not as common.
No.
They're hard to find, but they're about the same.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what the protein benefit and the calories are compared to a chicken egg, but I bet it's probably
protein different. And calories are a little higher. I've looked into this, but that's only because they're typically bigger eggs.
Right. Okay.
So
that makes perfect sense too.
Like ounce for ounce, it's about the same.
Okay.
Right.
So just FYI, little caveat on eggs if you ever run across it.
Now
duck
Matt's
egg.
Gonna go to six dozen chicken eggs and six dozen duck eggs a week.
Yeah. I don't know where you could find duck eggs around here. I mean, they're
the market out there at Redbridge Methodist Church.
Do they have them?
They had them usually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to remember that because usually they're not sitting out if they're there. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, maybe only sometimes, but I know they would advertise. They had them on their sign that they had them.
Okay.
He's the Eggman, Cuckoo Cuckoo. That's the Eggman right there. That's an old Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, enough giving Matt grief over here.
I feel like, let's move
we're
on.
We're gonna move on.
He's got broad shoulders, Parker.
Uh-huh. He does. Uh-huh. He's built those up a lot of years hanging out with us.
Right, right.
We're going to move on to testing out some products of mm-hmm. sorts here, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't really know exactly what's in store for us, but Brian's brought us
here.
Some stuff to sample that we can then relay on to you what our opinions are
well,
of it.
So do you guys have any water in your bottles, too?
I have some water.
Some water here.
I have some right here I can pour in.
All right, so put in about 8 ounces of water in your shaker glass. So So we talk a lot about eating healthy, about the supplements, about the nutrition while we're working out. And you can probably put 8 ounces here, Matt, and dump it in over if you need to. This one will have it on here. This one's got eight.
It has this.
It's about right here for this one.
This has a six, so I'll just go slightly over it.
So this is, so you guys are going to get your, you're going to get your protein in today for sure. So what I brought today, since we talk about eating healthy, working out and having good supplements and good nutrition surrounding your workouts and just making it a daily routine, right? I brought some, I want to show you how different protein powders are not created. They're not, all protein powders aren't created equal.
Okay.
There's going to be some that are good for you. I mean, that have a lot of added ingredients. So I did bring one at the end that I'm going to show you, and if you don't want to try it because of the ingredients in it, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I just want you guys to see that there's a big difference. So
all right,
first one, let's start off with, oh, darn it, the one I did forget at home. I completely forgot. I was going to bring one in from, gosh darn it, it's Natural Force. That was the one I wanted you guys to try, and I completely forgot it. It has one or two ingredients, maybe three ingredients.
Okay.
$159 a bag for like a 5 pound bag. But it's chocolate, and they also have vanilla, but it's about the cleanest protein you could probably get, and it's grass-fed whey. So I wanted you guys to try that, and I just looked in my bag. I forgot that. Second one, though, is, so this one is a good one, but this one's a post, not a pre. So just for those studying at home, you have a protein you can take as an intra or just a regular. I've got like some protein in here you can have throughout the day, or you can take before your workout. This is a post protein that the body burns quicker to help absorb and get back in your system. So this is a peanut butter chocolate, and this is actually really good. This is a scent. Now, when we look here, again, a lot of these things, you know, aren't the greatest. They have some good ingredients, but then they throw in that stupid phrase natural flavors somewhere. So you don't ever, I mean, to me anymore, I'm like, okay, this, if it's mainly really, really good and it has natural flavors in it, I could, depending on where that's at in the label, if it's down towards the bottom, it's not as much, then I'll probably be like, okay. So this one has, right here, it says ingredients, whey protein isolate blend, which is native whey protein isolate, peanuts, whey protein concentrate, cocoa, which is processed with alkali, natural flavors, sunflower lecithin, sea salt, and stevia leaf extract. So it's really not, I mean, there's four or five ingredients. A lot of it's whey protein, right? I'm not sure what to think about the sunflower lecithin. I don't know.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, that's good.
With that said, like you said, you know, there's probably no such thing as like the perfect protein powder out there. So they are come down low on the list, and so it's probably still way better than most of them. But that's not a good ingredient. No, nor is the natural flavors.
Here, let me. Oh, actually, you guys do have water. Okay. You know what? I completely. That way you guys, here, I'll go ahead and let you guys each have a scoop of this one. And then moving forward, I can just, if you guys don't want to have all that protein, then I can just put it in here and blend it up.
All the protein in the world doesn't bother me.
Give you guys a little bit of each.
As long as it's actually protein and not dextrose, right?
Well, I don't know. Wait, did I see dextrose on there? Oh, I think that's the number one ingredient, Matt. I think you're good.
Just like one ingredient, dextrose.
Yep. So shake that up and tell me what you guys
think. I don't typically go for chocolate protein powders.
Why is that?
I just like the vanilla better.
I just get vanilla,
okay,
too.
Okay, well, I've got a vanilla, I think, in here.
Well, I mean...
Yep, I brought a vanilla, I think.
No, that's
either
fine.
Way.
It's fine.
I still like them.
No, I recently got that True Mass to have a little bit more calories during the day. So that's chocolate.
Tell me what you think of that. For chocolate peanut butter, I think it's actually got a great flavor.
That is a very good flavor.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of?
A Reese's peanut butter cup?
the Reese's peanut butter shake back at the old smoothie shop.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever have that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what it reminds me of. I bet if I mixed it with some... I love mixing my protein powder with raw milk. And so... This is probably...
I bet that would be really good.
Oh, it's fantastic. And so this is obviously with water, so I would love to... I'm used to drinking mine with mixed with raw milk. I don't have any raw milk with me. but I would love to try it mixed with raw milk, because I bet that would be good.
Well, so I purposely made sure we were trying this with water so you could get the true taste of the protein powder and not let an added ingredient like a milk change the flavor profile. So
yeah,
that's why I wanted
comparison.
To make sure for comparison.
Oh, yeah,
today
makes sense. Makes water. Sense.
So the second one, while you guys are drinking on this now, this one is actually a very good one too. And this is, I think, about 80. So that one right there, that's about a $60 bag. Okay. That one we just had by a cent.
And how many servings was it?
So this one has 52 servings.
So it's around a dollar.
What's the scoop size on that? How big is the scoop?
It says one rounded scoop is 35 grams.
So 25 grams of protein for a 35 grand scoop. Okay.
Yep. And it's 52 servings. It's about $60 a bag, and it's a cent. You can get the chocolate one a lot of times at Costco, but you have to order the chocolate peanut butter one online. Okay. So this one is this is raw grass-fed whey. Only one ingredient, 100% pure grass-fed whey on this one. And this one is servings per container is 90. Now this one, they don't have a scoop, and I didn't bring, I'll grab one of the other scoops, but this one, the serving size is 5 tablespoons, believe it or not, and it doesn't come with a tablespoon. So you just have to get your tablespoon out, and so what I do is,
interesting,
I'll take a scoop of protein powder, put in my post-workout in my bag to take to the gym, and then I'll take like 2 tablespoons of this just to add a little extra protein, not getting the full amount. But this says whey protein concentrate is the only
ingredient?
And it's unflavored. That's the only ingredient.
That'll be interesting to have just with water.
All right. Well, finish that up. And you've got some, I've got a little water that you can dump in your cups to clean them. I'll go ahead and, here, I'll just do this. That way you guys, the unflavored's probably going to not taste as well. So let's do this.
So I would say with this one, like with the one we just had, that was a chocolate peanut butter, I can just drink that with water and it tastes great.
Right.
But this unflavored one, I would think you would probably have to have something else to flavor it.
I agree.
Is my guess, because it wouldn't be the best by itself with just water.
Correct.
So that would be interesting to, what do you normally use to help flavor this?
I add it to my other protein. So like if I had a scoop of that chocolate peanut butter in my little bag to put in my post-workout shake, I'd take 2 tablespoons of this, mix in with it just to get the extra protein, since
okay.
it's such a clean protein.
Yeah.
And I get the flavor profile from the chocolate peanut butter or from something different.
Kind of treat it supplementally.
Yes.
So wait, how many tablespoons?
5. A serving is 5.
Because I just looked up a tablespoon equals 14 grams. So if that's...
That's 70. 70 grams.
Yeah.
So 70 grams versus... And you're getting how many grams from it? 21?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah. But it's all, it just says concentrate, whey protein concentrate. It's the only ingredient.
Wouldn't that be 1-to-1? I mean, the number of grams would be the number of grams of protein, I would think.
Well, that's interesting. Might have to do some digging on
that. Is yours empty, Matt?
Yeah.
Open up your lid. Take your lid off of there, and let's. I'm going to let you guys both. So you're not going to get a complete true taste of how this tastes by itself because you've got the chocolate peanut butter already still in there. But
we'll get pretty close.
You'll get close. So try that.
Unflavored protein powder. I've never had unflavored protein powder before.
No,
and it's clean. I mean,
yeah.
It's very clean. Different?
Well, that just tastes like drinking water pretty much. That's not bad at all.
All right, so then I've
water.
Got...
Yeah, I could just do that with... I could just mix it with water, and then it pretty much just tastes like drinking water.
Yeah. So if you wanted anything unflavored, that's a very clean one. It's raw. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's by raw. It's grass-fed whey.
Where can you get that?
Get it online. I do a lot of my shopping online. Yeah, because the places... in town, like the supplement superstores or the vitamin shops or the GNCs, I can't say that about GNC because I have not stepped in one of those in a long time, but I would be very surprised if they carry this.
Can I look at it?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that one is how many servings?
What was it? 52, was it? No, up at the top.
90.
90
servings.
90
and
servings.
How much was the bag?
That was, I think, $80.
Oh, so less than a dollar per serving.
So this
that's
is
pretty good.
This is saying 5 tablespoons is equal to 25 grams. So whatever I'm looking at is completely way off.
Well, maybe that's water, like 5 tablespoons of liquid versus the powder. Like what you looked up was water.
Maybe. I just asked Google to tell me what was a tablespoon equal to in grams.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah.
Asking Google.
Yeah. So 25 grams and you get 21 grams of protein, which is about as one of the closer ones you can get. Because usually you're going to be at like more like the other one, 35 grand scoop and get 25 to 26 grams of protein. And this is within...
It's almost 1-to-1.
So it's close to 1-to-1. It's only 4 grams different. So I don't know what the additional ingredient is, but...
So I would wonder if you just took that grass-fed whey that's plain and you put that in and then you put in some cocoa powder, right? Mm-hmm. And to give it a chocolate flavor. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that would taste, because then you would have no BS ingredients, right? You would have literally just whey protein and cocoa powder.
Just depends on how bitter that cocoa is.
That's true. Maybe some honey?
Yeah, I was going to say honey.
Just a touch.
Just a little bit.
Just to sweeten it up, just a hair.
I might have to get that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always, that's the problem with shakes, is sometimes that to get like, you know, 50 or 60 grams of protein in your shake, it's pretty, a lot of powder, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that seems like that would be less powder for, you know, the bang, for mm-hmm. as much protein as you want.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think for the money, I think you're getting a pretty good deal. So this next one, okay, so this next one is...
We're going to have so much protein in our system.
You guys are going to feel, you know what, I'm glad I could get you to your levels today. So this one is clean, simple eats, okay? For the most part, I mean, the only reason why I brought this is, Megan likes their products a little bit as well. They have a probiotic that she takes. This one here, I'm going to read off these ingredients. There's a few more, and you're going to have to tell me what you think. But it says clean, simple eats, but you're going to find out that they're not all, it's not the cleanest. Whey protein isolate, xylitol, which is natural birch, dark cocoa, prebiotic Vita fiber, which is IMO in parentheses, I'm not sure what that is, natural flavors, coconut oil, MCT, 50%, non-fat dry milk, xanthan gum, stevia leaf extract, and sea salt.
Boy, that's kind of like all over the place. It's like, well, that's good, and then that's not, and then that's good.
Correct.
And that's not.
And this is 34 grams for scoop, and this gives you 30 servings for a 36-ounce bag, and there's 20 grams of protein. And this is the cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream.
So I'm going to let you guys try that one. Smell that. What do you think of that?
I think it smells like cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, the xanthan gum is something we find in a lot of...
Is it a filler?
It is a filler. It gives it more stability and...
Shelf life,
yeah.
That reigns supreme right there, Hansa. That's the word, shelf
exactly.
life.
And when you're producing these products, you know, they have to be able to last a long time. They have to mm-hmm. be able to ship and all that stuff. So it is kind of a...
Supposedly it keeps the ingredients from separating. So it lasts longer.
Supposedly, but how much, you know, question everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so especially if it gets exposed to, like, significant temperature changes and stuff and shipping and storage and whatnot.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have two more after this, but I want you guys.
Oh, baby. I won't have to eat the rest of the day.
Oh, whatever, Mr. Protein Man. Open up Mr. Egg Man. All right. You want yours too, Parker?
Yeah.
So we're not getting 100% of a true taste of these, because we're mixing them with, we're not cleaning out our glasses after every one, but you'll
it's
get the general idea.
Enough.
It's close
yeah.
enough. You'll get the general gist.
The real test would be what would happen if we just mixed them all together.
Oh,
ooh.
Ooh, a suicide protein shake. I used to do that with my soft drinks going to Quick Trip when I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah,
Matt's face.
Now, I will tell you, their chocolate, which I don't have anymore because I'm out. It's an amazing amazing chocolate flavor. But again, it's got some of the same ingredients that we read off. So it's got a good mix of good and bad. Now that bag right there is, I think, that's roughly about $60. And this is, you can go to cleansimpleeats.com if that's what you like, and give that a go if you want to try it. What do you guys think on that flavor profile?
You'd have to pay me to eat that one.
Yeah, okay. I was not like a fan.
It. Okay.
No, it just overpowering and sweet, even just mixed with water.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was just wow.
Have to down it.
Are you gonna? Able to down it?
Well, I will, but I don't particularly want to. Okay. I don't quite recommend that one.
Okay. Well, see, this is why we're doing it. So we're giving everybody an opportunity. Okay. So the next one, this is the vanilla one, and I have it sealed up like this because when in transit, when you have to tear the top thing off the top of the bag where they adhere.
It doesn't have
it has a bunch of protein in it, so I can't get it out of there. So I've just had to go ahead and flip it.
This one's called
Muscle Feast.
Muscle Feast.
Now this one has 18.3 grams of protein, 4.2 grams of BCAAs, and 1.9 grams of leucine. This is a grass-fed and hormone-free whey protein concentrate. Now this is, one level scoop is 24 grams. There's 94 servings in this container, and you get 18.3 grams of protein, and what's in here is whey protein concentrate, natural vanilla flavoring, sunflower lecithin, and stevia extract. Contains milk. So smaller ingredients, but it still has that sunflower lecithin. Okay. So this one,
and a little bit less protein. I'm noticing a trend here. We're dropping in protein content as we go along.
Well, I think, honestly, I think the more flavored, the more flavored ones that you get, I think probably offer a little less in the protein category.
Yeah, typically, yeah. Because this one's only 18 grams. Like I would.
Well, don't forget that
2.3 scoops minimum.
Right.
Even just to get 36. Honestly, right. Probably closer to 3 scoops to get the protein I typically get in my shake.
But this is what I have in my shake right now, and this is the vanilla, and I think it's got a good
flavor. So this is Brian's flavor of choice.
Well,
it is.
Currently, because I've got I just switched over from, I usually do a lot of chocolate, but I ran out, so I bought a vanilla to change it up. But this is your flavor of choice.
Vanilla is mine.
We're going to have to see what I think of this vanilla. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you'll be glad to get rid of that taste out of there, aren't you?
I hope this one is better than the last one.
I put water in mine and clean it out. It's like,
if this one's worse than the last one, I'm not going to finish it, Brian.
I don't think it should be. I tried to shake it, so you might get a clump, but I tried to shake it up a little bit, so you might shake it up a little bit more.
Yeah. Matt just went straight to town.
Yep. He doesn't like it either. He doesn't like it.
Matt's facial expressions don't lie.
Yeah, they don't lie. You didn't like that one? What is it about that you don't? Is it too fake of a vanilla flavor? Because it says it has natural vanilla flavor.
Has an aftertaste.
Does?
It lingers.
That is a really weird taste. I'm not sure I can pinpoint what it tastes like, but it's a very weird aftertaste.
Yeah, it lingers.
It's sweet, but it's kind of got a weird tang to it.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually does.
So do you... Was that the last one?
No, I've got one more.
Okay.
Now, this one... go ahead and ask your question. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of... This more just overarching theme. Like, we're drinking this with powder and water. Is that typically how you do your protein shakes, or do you add other things as well?
So, no. Okay, well, so... When I go to the gym in the morning, I'll put a scoop of protein powder in with my water. I'll drink it with water. And then I'll have a little baggie. I'll put another scoop of protein. I'll put a scoop of creatine in both with my shake and with my post-shake. And then I have a bottle of honey that's in my workout bag. And I'll put in my post-workout, I'll dump that with the creatine in my ice. Fill it back up with water and put in, I don't know, squirt in about a tablespoon and a half of honey and shake it up so I get the glycogen back into my muscles after the workout. So it's usually honey, protein powder, water, and creatine for the most part.
Okay. Interesting. So the honey to give it a little sweet. The creatine's good to add too.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
So I don't, it's just not just protein for me. It's protein with the extra stuff that the body needs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I used to just do like protein powder and water because like if I was on the go or something, it's just really handy to just have the powder and throw it in there. Yeah. And those the other ingredients you have too, you could also take those on the go. Honey can get a little bit hard to work with when you're on the go, just because it's sticky, and if you get it on you and whatnot. Yeah. But
that's a great thing with pop-up lids, and you just give it the squirt, just squirt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I've got one more, and I don't know if you guys are going to want to try this or not. I'm going to leave it up to you because I'm going to read the ingredient list. And before you puke, I want to know if you're going to try it or not. I mean, the caveat is this is another one that you find at a health food place or a supplement store. The wife loves it, but I won't take it for several ingredients on this list. But
yeah.
All right. So this last one.
Oh, first form.
Is first form. Okay, yeah. So you get this at Supplement Superstore.
I know this is a popular brand out there.
It is a very popular brand.
And that's why I brought it, because I want people to know.
Supplement Superstore, you're not listening.
Well, the truth is right here is what it shows. I don't take it. My wife does. So if you're watching, guys, at Supplement Superstore, I do love you guys, but I don't. And I've already had the conversation with them. They know why.
They know.
So
they know.
This has this is cinnamon cookie batter, which is actually, I mean, for flavor profile, it's actually not bad. But this has 150 calories. It's one scoop is 37 grams. You can get 24 grams of protein. But with that, here comes the ingredient list. Protein whey matrix comprised of whey protein concentrate, whey protein isolate, milk protein concentrate, creamer powder, which is palm oil, corn syrup, solids, sodium cationate, mono and diglycerides, sodium silico aluminate, and BHT added to help protect flavor, natural and artificial flavor, modified food starch, soy lecithin, salt, xanthan gum, cinnamon cellulose gum, sucralose, and asphalfame, potassium.
Good Lord.
Potassium.
You're reading it off a thesis there.
Right. So that's why I told you. These ingredients, there are, I mean, many in here that I don't want to, that's why I don't take it. But you guys want to try this for just a small amount and see what you think?
I'll tell you this. I've had several samples of all their different flavors. They all taste great. They taste really good.
Have you had this one?
I have not had that one.
Do you want to try it?
I'll try one.
Parker? No, I'm good. You're good. Okay.
So, I will say, though, typically that's the trade-off, right?
Yeah.
The trade-off is the good quality, low ingredient, quality ingredient protein powders are probably not going to be quite as good. If you're willing to use the crappy ingredients, you're going to end up with a better tasting protein powder most of the time.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense that this one's going to probably be the best tasting.
And I don't know, I don't remember how much these are, if they're 50, 60 bucks, 40, 50 bucks.
Is it the isolate or the...
This is the, isolate.
Yeah, it's going to be more
expensive.
Well,
no, it has concentrate and isolate in it.
Oh.
So this is the pre, this is not the post, because they also have a pre and a post.
Yeah.
This is more of the pre.
Okay.
It's only 30 servings, though. And so if it was 60 bucks at 30 servings, that's far and away the most expensive one that we've... But tried today.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it's 40 or 50 or 60. Well, I don't want the rest of it. You can have the whole thing. You get the whole thing, Matt.
Thanks, Parker.
You know, Brian could have just pulled a half a scoop out.
Yeah.
No, he wanted his protein today, Parker. I'm giving the old man his protein.
Can we add up the number of scoops of protein powder we've had now?
I bet you're about 100 grams of protein just in this podcast today.
Well, I had... 80 grams of protein walking out the door this morning.
Oh, see, you're gaining muscle as we speak today, Matt.
What do you think,
Matt? What is this one?
This one's cinnamon cookie batter.
All right. This is one Megan likes?
This is the one that Megan takes every day. Okay. Yeah. See, she's not too dead set against some of these. She takes the good with the bad.
It is sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's that sucralose.
Uh-huh. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, something has to be unnatural for it to taste that sweet.
That's a telltale sign, I will say.
What was your thought today on those? Which ones did you guys like?
I'll be honest. Can you like put them all up on here, and we can kind of look them over? because I got to kind of remember them all now.
There's that guy.
So the first form, I will say, starting out, I didn't actually try it. I have, like Matt said, tried some of first form stuff. I'm not a huge fan of that ingredients list, and for that reason, I definitely wouldn't buy it or consume it on a regular basis.
Okay.
However, I do agree it probably would be the best tasting, even though I didn't try it.
Yeah,
I just know because of the ingredients and because of their marketing that's kind of what they're out there to do is they want it to taste really good. A lot of these other brands look like they're more focused on quality ingredients.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first form ingredient list is twice as long as any of the others, at least.
So I'm gonna say this. If I had to rank them, right, in terms of taste only, that one, the
Ascent peanut butter and chocolate?
The Ascent was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one the best. I didn't have the first form, but second would be this unflavored one.
Tastes just like water. You can't go wrong with that.
It tastes just like water. And
right,
so,
no, you can't
not
go
that
wrong
I,
with
it. Yeah, and my thought with that is more, then it's kind of a blank slate, right? I have the protein powder in the water. It just tastes like water. I can continue to flavor it if I want to. I can put some honey in it, put some cocoa powder, put something like that in if I want to flavor it. But I don't even have to. I can just put it in water.
The good thing about this one, too, is it does say on the back here that it is cold processed. So this one is for sure. I don't know about the others, but I know that this one is.
And then I think probably the Muscle Feast third. And then I think I'm putting...
The Clean Simple Protein fourth.
Yeah, that the clean, yeah.
Would you agree with fourth. That, Matt, or what's yours?
The taste, as far as taste is concerned, it would be between the Ascent and the cinnamon cookie batter. I would give the Ascent chocolate and peanut butter a slight edge.
Because of how much cleaner it is?
Well, just on taste.
Oh, okay.
Just on taste, it's not, I mean, like the cinnamon cookie batter is really sweet. It's like...
It is.
Right.
It does hit you.
but it tastes good. Right.
But that's what they want. They want you to go back. They want you to take more.
And I've had their cinnamon cookie. No, it's mint cookie. And it tastes good, too. And so, I mean, everyone says all their flavors taste good. Mm-hmm. But I would give the Ascent a slight edge on that because it tasted cleaner than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when something tastes. It almost tainted. It was like a manufactured taste versus the chocolate peanut butter, which I'm sure the chocolate peanut butter is still, you know, naturally flavored. And then the clean or that Muscle Feast.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I didn't like that.
You didn't like
and
that.
And then that simply
because of the aftertaste.
Yeah, it lingered. And then this was this god awful.
Yeah,
cookies and cream. It's just terrible. Now, as far as the one I'm most excited about, I'm probably going to get is the raw,
that one.
Because it's. I'm always looking for the scoop ratio to protein ratio to be closer, and a lot of them, it's like you got to get 35 gram scoops to get 20, you know, even 23, 24 grams.
I'll take a look at the Natural Force. Whenever I get home again, I really meant to bring that because I think you guys would have liked it. It's chocolate, but I think you're going to find, and I could be wrong, and I'll double check that when I get home, but I think you're going to find that it's probably a similar one-to-one as what this one is because there's only, I think it's just three ingredients, like cocoa, whey, and stevia maybe, but there's only two or three ingredients in it. So it's very clean, but I'll snap a picture of it and send it to you guys.
Yeah, that'd be great. But I am very taken with the grass-fed because I like the fact that it's funny that, you know, it tastes just like water.
Right.
And so, and like, I wouldn't be like, it's not going to taste weird just to throw it in water. I can just drink it and throw it some ice in there and it wouldn't be a big deal.
That, or you could just put it with anything flavored because it's not going to change the flavor profile. And it's only going to add more protein to whatever it is that you're fixing. So that's the great thing about it, too, is it's very versatile.
Yeah. I agree. And if I had to rank based on quality, it would come first.
Sure.
Based on the quality of the ingredients, mm-hmm. 100%. And then I would only say one ingredient. And then yeah, I would say the Ascent second.
And then probably that, and then
yeah, then
that.
The Muscle Feast. Yeah. So I mean the Muscle Feast and the clean, simple eats, I mean, I didn't like the taste and I don't like the ingredients. I mean, those I'd toss out. Like, no chance, right?
Well, so for everybody playing along at home, as you can see, whatever it is that you have in your cabinet, these companies do a great job of marketing these as good for you and healthy, and they're protein powders that they want you to take. Now you've seen, with all the ingredients we've read off, and you can look them up for yourself online if you get these names, is that a lot of these will throw in a lot of additives and a lot of things that aren't necessarily needed.
Right.
But I don't know that that's necessarily on them either. I think, you know, there's somebody doing it, and there's really no reason. I mean, when this right here tells you just one ingredient, you can get by with making a protein powder with one or maybe two ingredients in it. That's just fine for you.
Well, the reason that one's so attractive to me is that the cup to actual protein ratio is so small. Mm-hmm. The closest that's come to that is my fake protein.
Where that was dextrose, almost, right.
Know, it was like that was a 25-gram scoop, and you got 24 grams of protein. And I should have, put two and two together. How, is that even possible?
but it
close.
Is. Now it is close.
Yeah.
So, I'll let you guys see that Natural Forest when I get back to the house and let you guys I'll snap a picture and send it to you guys, or a couple of them, so you can take a look at it and look that up. But that is that's $160 a bag, but it's I think it's a 4 or 5 pound
how
bag.
Much is the raw
this
grass
is head? About I think 80 I think
okay. That one's not bad price wise either. It's like less than a dollar per serving. I mean, that's
yeah, makes
as far
sense.
As protein powders go, it's very reasonable. And like I said, if you're willing to do some of your own flavoring, or you're okay with it just tasting like water, that's a fantastic option.
I'm fine with that.
Well, and this also says it's RBGH free. So,
what's that an acronym for?
I don't know.
I think that's a hormone.
I think it's a hormone.
Yeah, they a lot of times will give to dairy cattle.
So,
well, awesome.
Yeah, so I you know, it's not anything new per se, but I did have several different brands I wanted to bring in so you guys could kind of see, because you guys each have your own that you take and that you buy, as does everybody that's also watching or listening. So I wanted to make sure that there were five more that you guys could choose from and see if there was at least one of the five you guys like, and maybe possibly the second one would be this one. But, you know, it gives everybody an opportunity to kind of expand.
Well, I mean, I switched to, because I was out real quick, I switched to Element, mm-hmm. which is S2 cells. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. But, grass-fed, I'm very intrigued by that one. I might be switching to that for sure.
Well, again, it's just what all can you take? I mean, do you like, are you okay with taking some ingredients that aren't the best for you and ingesting those with your protein powder, or do you want to keep it as clean as possible?
Obviously.
Well,
yeah.
But not everybody feels that way. Like I said, my wife, she's okay with the first form because she likes the way it tastes. So if that's what she likes, then, I mean, that's on her. I don't want any of some of those ingredients in me. So,
yeah,
that's why I try to stay as clean as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to do a little research on that raw grass-fed whey, because it says it's just whey protein concentrate. So, I know my wife, so she will make homemade yogurt. Ooh. With our raw milk, and there's a byproduct of that, and that is the whey. You have to separate the whey out of the milk in order to make the yogurt. And so we end up with these containers of liquid whey as a byproduct. And I would be interested to know what the process is to take that and turn it into a powder.
Can you just drink it as protein?
Probably doesn't have a good flavor. I mean, you could probably need the flavor, maybe put a little honey in it or something. Or maybe it tastes like, have you tried it? Does it taste like water?
I think I did try it at the back, like, the first time. And then I don't really remember. I think maybe it didn't have a whole lot of taste. So maybe maybe I could just use that as my base for my protein shakes.
But I wonder how you would dry that slow enough or even dry it without it dissipating completely to where you have. Because I bet you take that liquid whey. I bet once that dries out and with the whey in it, I bet after all the water's gone, in that way, you probably don't have much whey left to dry and then to grind up into granules or whatever or into powder. I bet it probably, once it dries and the moisture comes out of it, I bet there's really not a whole lot of whey left to use. So I bet you would have to use probably quite a bit of that in order to get a bag of powder.
Probably, but you know, it the way it works out with the yogurt, it's just a byproduct that essentially gets thrown away. So if you can turn it into something, you know, even if it was just supplemental,
sure,
for protein consumption. I don't know, just a thought that I had, because I'd never thought about a tasteless, just plain whey.
But yeah, well, there you go. At least, hey, you know what, 1 out of 5 isn't bad, or maybe even 2 with the Ascent, but yeah, you guys have now got another protein you can use.
I like it.
Well, it's good to see some of both sides, right? And show, not only show our listeners good options, but show them what to look out for too.
Right.
You know, and some of the other options. The first form I know is a one that used by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that while it's still an okay option, know the downsides.
Right.
Know that their goal is to have it taste really, really good. Their goal is not for it to be really healthy for you.
Right.
Regardless of what their marketing says, that's the reality.
They want to sell their product.
And I don't mind first form at all, but
they have some decent products. It's just that particular product's got a long list on them.
Right. Yeah. And they have, I mean, I get my full mega from them, and some of the other supplements that we use, I'll buy from them.
I buy first form creatine because you can't really mess that up. But
well, it's a one ingredient.
Yeah.
Well, I do. So, and that's something maybe we can do down the road too, is maybe try creatine powder. So I get gains in
bulk.
We'll
have 6 scoops of creatine at our podcast.
You walking 100
around 100 grams of creatine.
Actually, you know, I think studies have shown that you can have up to 60 grams per day and it'd be okay.
You can. A lot of creatines, I don't necessarily suggest it, but a lot of creatines will put that on their instructions to load. I go through a loading phase at the beginning, and that's where you take 20 or 30 grams a day for a few days.
So the body absorbs
it. Yeah. Then once your supplies are fully up to the level they need to be, then you go on a maintenance dose of 5 grams a day.
I just do 10 to 15 a day, no matter what.
Yeah. I just eat a bunch of red meat.
Yeah, that too.
That's a lot of red meat, though.
Yeah, I think I looked it up one time. If you eat a pound of red meat, you get your 5 grams.
A pound? I thought it was more than that.
I don't think so.
Oh, I was thinking a pound only gave you 2 or 3.
I don't know for sure. I'll have to look back into it. But
yeah. So Matt has 6 dozen eggs a week. Parker eats half a cow a week. I need to try to figure out how I'm going to up my intake. I need to.
That is true. This guy can put away red meat like nobody's business, and I can't do that. I've seen him just down 2 pounds of meat in front of me before.
What I'm going to really have to start worrying about is if I see him just grab some raw, cold hamburger and just start doing this and just go, and just start eating it.
Yeah.
I don't like it raw if it's cold. But
oh, here we go.
But if we throw some burgers on the grill and you get the outside nice and crispy and the middle gets warmed up but it's still purple and red, I love it.
Oh.
Love it. Tastes amazing. If you cook it done, you're burning all the flavor out of it.
He doesn't even put any spice or salt or pepper on him.
No, I do. I like it. I like a good burger, and I don't like it dry or overly cooked, but I don't like it raw like that. But I do put a good salt and pepper mix on it to give it a little flavor. Yeah. Now you're getting me hungry. It's about lunchtime. I'm ready to eat.
Go eat some red meat right now.
Right? Well, thank you guys for having me on again. I don't know if there's anything else that we needed to discuss, but I'm always appreciative of you guys letting me come on and spend some time with you.
Well, we're very happy that you want to help educate our listeners when it comes to protein powder.
It's because I've been educating myself, so I don't mind helping others, for sure.
If you enjoy the education on protein powder, go back to the last time Brian was on, because we talked about protein bars, and we had a few protein bars we tried and which ones we recommend and which ones were full of quality ingredients.
Well, and speaking of that very quickly, I almost brought one today because that coffee snacks one that I showed you, that coffee peanut butter protein bar.
Yeah.
Can't get them online anymore. That company, they pulled them off of their advertising on their website. So until they, I don't know if they're trying to redo their ingredients or if they just decided not to make it anymore. I have another one that's very similar to that honey almond one. This one's same flavor kind of grittiness, but it's called Atlas, and it actually has, besides the protein, it actually has ashwagandha in it. But it's called Atlas, and it's pretty good. So look into that one. That's a very very clean one, too. And it comes in an orange package.
Shall do. Shall do.
Okay. Well, I think that'll do it here for this episode. Is this number
30?
Episode 30. Wow. We made it to 30
episodes. 30 episodes.
30.
Hey, you know, I did some research the other day and found out that most podcasts, 90% of podcasts start, don't make it past episode 10.
We made it to 30.
So we're now in the top 5 to 10% episodes in the world.
Well, hey, that's a milestone in and of itself.
Yeah. I know.
And for all you guys that have been listening along the way, we appreciate having you. We're always happy to inform you guys, kind of like we did today. We're always happy to answer any questions. If you guys have specific questions, feel free to reach out.
CPT.KansasCity@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Or if you're, you know, a member here in Anytime Fitness, just if you see us around, just flag us down, ask us a question.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We will be back next week with another episode for you.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Be safe.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.